Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
Hoop Ballers! Welcome back to another episode and another edition of Today in Sports Betting. I am your host, Devin Ellington, at DALE007 on Twitter. This is a hoop-ball.com presentation, hoop-ball.com. That's the motherboard. And then you can find us at Hoopball Gaming on Twitter, at Hoopball Tweets also. All that mumbo jumbo, you hear me say it all the time. But for real though, go over to hoop-ball.com, check out the premium content. It's still pretty new for us. It's an exciting thing. The Discord servers are very fun to be a part of. Honestly, that's my favorite part of it. On this side of it, kind of discussing with you guys on a daily basis. It's kind of fun. So just check that out at your leisure. Use our side blurbs on the injury news and notes for your fantasy basketball sake. And then the free content. You know, we have tons of podcasts sprinkled all over every network. Spotify, iHeart, all that good stuff. So check us out, join the family, join the fun. And talk about Manscaped real quick, just because they are an important part of this show. Got some new materials, new products out for them that I need to talk about. The Weed Whacker, lithium battery, powered dual motor, razor, anti-tugless technology. It's the smoothest thing I've ever encountered. It's going to take care of, your nostril hairs. You know, the guys turning 30, pushing that kind of mark in their life, the ear hair, the stuff you don't notice, but ladies do, you got to take a razor to that. You got to clean that up. So that's what Manscaped's for. That's a part of the complete care package. This is kind of what I would recommend getting, because you get a little bit of everything. You get the Lawnmower 3.0, just came out back in the summertime. It's got that waterproof technology, shower's a good spot to do this stuff. So go over to manscaped.com, use promo code HOOPBALL20, HOOPBALL20 for your discount on free shipping and 20% off. Check them out, let them know we sent you, and get your lawn mowed. So going to have a very exciting show today. College basketball heavy, as it is always, with me at the helm. Vince does a great job for the NBA. I sprinkle it in there, but my true heart and passion lies within college basketball, college sports in general. So the guest I'm going to have on today, I don't want to spoil too much, but he's someone I've been following on Twitter and have an interaction with, for a little bit now, and just a really sharp mind, really smart cover of college basketball, does some really great projections and day-to-day updated to the pretty much the minute bracketology. So I really like it. It's a good scope on the sport. And without further ado, I'm going to bring Jonathan in, Mr. Jonathan Warner, at Bracketologist3 on Twitter. How you doing, boss? Appreciate you coming on again.
Oh, thank you for having me. Pleasure to come on, talk some college basketball. And it's a good time of year to come on. So it should be a fun show.
Yeah, and there's a ton of action going on right now, obviously. We are recording this. So this is going to be Tuesday's show, but we record Monday night. So we got some games going on right now. As you and I talked about off air a little bit, probably not the caliber game that we were expecting or the quality. So it's a bit of a bummer, bit of a blowout in the Florida State-Virginia game. But more so about, what you do. MakingTheMadness.com obviously is a proud work of yours and something that I enjoy for intake myself. You know, you're obviously a really great college basketball writer and analyst. So, you know, just for the folks and the listeners of Hoopball here who may or may not be familiar with your work, just could you shed a little more light on how it started for you? And maybe what was your first, you know, familiarization with the platform that you could do for your work and college basketball? And maybe just familiarize a short little story background information about who you are and why you love college basketball for the listeners.
Yeah, it kind of started like a few years ago. I used to, like, I've always loved watching college basketball, but like I kind of like, I think my passion was kind of in bracketology. Like I loved making NCAA tournament projections and that kind of fun stuff. And so like, I'd be like scribbling down like what team will make the NCAA tournament. Cause I liked projecting ahead, like even in like December, okay, what seed is where in the NCAA tournament. So I kind of started first doing bracketology back in like 2013, really kind of took off like 2016, 2017, just kind of been rolling from there. I love doing like the daily updates. I used to do them like on my Apple Notes app. But in 2017, I decided get a website. The website's obviously now makingthemadness.com. It was something different back in the day, but I always love every day just sitting down doing the latest bracketology and don't know any other way of going about it.
Yeah. Bracketology just adds a certain extra, I'd say, like pizzazz to what you're looking at as far as the game. And it makes box score breakdowns a little more interesting also is what I found. Cause I think it can be a little correlative in that measure as well. As far as what you do and what you kind of dig into, and you know, we're going to get into some, you know, just interview questions that I'm interested to ask, but like I told you, I couldn't promise not holding off any just curiosity questions throughout the recording. So what are some like little tidbits of things that you throw into your model, your formula that you look for in a team, maybe that's a little more heavily weighted within your model than what would be in your traditional bracketology models, what have you?
Well, a couple of things like I like to look at like strength of record. It's kind of like a metric out there that kind of shows a little bit, like you get the KenPoms, the like Sagarin, like all those ratings are kind of, they are what they are, but like I truly kind of trust a team that goes out, yeah, they may not, you know, perform to, you know, the means of like to be like, for example, I trust Florida State almost a little bit more than Virginia, because like Florida State's strength of record is pretty, it's like they're neck and neck up there in terms of that metric. So it's kind of like one of those metrics that tend to lean towards like lean against the teams that kind of just beat the, you know, normal, we're gonna play Coppin State and beat them by 40 and inflate the KenPom ratings. I also use like Haslametrics. I think that's a good one. Yes. Kind of like when I like what they do is, or I guess he does, is like when you get into a game that where it's like the results decided, he just like throws out all the data and just that's what the game result is. And I think those are a couple sites I like to personally use when it comes to like evaluating games and stuff like that.
Yeah. And huge fan of Mr. Eric Haslam on the show here, you know, Haslametrics is on my toolbar. So I can agree with you on that. I just love the, like I said, the scope of the sport that you guys provide. So when you're looking at bracketology, you know, you got to be accountable for almost every team in the country, at least have familiarization with. And I love the small schools. I'm not sure if you have a loyalty to any conference, team, or region, but, you know, the game I was most excited for on this card tonight, and again, we're recording Monday night, is the Eastern Tennessee State Chattanooga game. Just a really good battle in the Big South, and Southern Conference, SoCon. And, you know, just some quality teams, 48 combined points right now, 3 minutes left in the first half. I think this was going to be a game that offered the best kind of, you know, quality of matchup on the slate. Side tangent. Sorry, I didn't warn you that we were going to do that.
Well, it's a good game. I think East Tennessee State is still, like last year, they were right there. If the NCAA tournament would have obviously gone off, and let's say they even lost to like Wofford in the SoCon championship game, they still would have been an at-large team in the NCAA tournament. They like those metrics, the strength of record, the wins above bubble, like those are a couple metrics that really love them. And they performed really well throughout the season, would have been an at-large team had there been an NCAA tournament. I think Jason Shea's kind of like, he lost a lot of players to transfer, but I think he's a really kind of good coach in East Tennessee State. Yeah, they might not make the NCAA tournament this year. I think they're kind of a team that going forward is definitely going to be back in the hunt.
Yeah. I was keeping really close track of this team last year, like you said, and the way the tournament kind of just stifled them. There's a couple of teams I was really hoping to see get into the tournament last year, and these guys were one of them. You know, Akron was another one from last year. I liked Akron's team last year with their guard play. All right, yeah. Well, sorry about the little tangent. I'm going to get into these questions because I'm interested, and maybe this will answer some of the questions I've already asked. And if they do, I apologize. But so I was covering, you know, a couple things recently. And then I was thinking about how, you know, I started enjoying those things and how I, you know, started posing the question and asking folks that came on the show. I've been just trying to gain interest and in how interest started within the sport. So you've been covering college basketball for a pretty good while now. So what is it about the college game that makes it mean that much more to you versus other sports or other leagues, such as the NBA?
Well, one, I like basketball, and two, I think it's kind of like, it's just like a better feel to it. Like the NBA, it's kind of like you have an 82 game season. You have like, obviously, whoever wins the title has to win 16 games. But, like, it kind of gets repetitive. I like the NBA. Like, I like it. But it kind of, like, it's the same teams every year. It's, you know, the same. Like, the games are longer. It's less entertaining because you get, like, the Lakers play the Suns. Well, the Lakers are going to win most of the time. And even if they don't, well, it's probably because they sat LeBron James or Anthony Davis or someone like that. But, like, college basketball, I think, is more fun. You get bigger upsets. I think, you know, the rankings are fun because you get, like, teams ranked higher. And then, like, yeah, they might lose to an unranked team. Like, you can have a top five team lose to an unranked team. And it's like a big deal, whereas like in the NBA, a big upset's like, oh, well, anything can happen on any given night. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
10 teams can make the NBA finals. So right. I think college basketball is like more organic. And then you have like, obviously the crowds are more into it. You have the cheerleaders, you have the band, you have all that. So I think it's just more fun. And then obviously it caps off with the greatest championship known to mankind.
Yeah. You know, the whole just March Madness. I put it up there personally with the Super Bowl. You know, I love the Super Bowl. Don't get me wrong. You know, I grew up watching lots of Super Bowls, lots of football, and the only thing I watched more of was college basketball. So March Madness and the National Championship and Final Four, something that I absolutely adore so, so much. So I can definitely hear what you're saying there, bud. You know, making the Madness and, you know, I got ahead of myself already, you know, asking about the nut tricks and the model, like I said, kind of jumped the gun a little bit. So when you got the domain for this and you figured out what metrics you wanted to use, how did you organize that? Was there a certain, you know, was there a method to the madness? You know, pun intended, that was too easy. But, like, was there?
I don't really think so. I kind of just like to, like, I'm someone that kind of goes a lot based on, like, what I feel, what I like those type of things. So, like, making the madness, what I kind of did, I've, like, played around with really a lot of what kind of the site identity is. And recently I brought on some good writers. Sean, he's someone that helps produce for the site. So, like, the site's kind of like the bracketology is always something that I do every day because I've done it every day for like the past 6 or 7 years. But I think that the additional stuff, I think, is kind of something that I think is important. But in terms of the bracketology, it's just kind of like going based off like what the metrics are saying, what I think the committee's kind of doing, and like what teams have quality wins and stuff like that. And like for picks and stuff, I kind of like try to look at all the stats before like making any picks. Maybe there's an injury update. Maybe like this year you have COVID pauses. So maybe a team's coming off a giant COVID pause and it's their first game back and they're playing Florida State in their first game back. Let's say, for example, that's not a matchup you want to be picking against Florida State.
Yeah, I hear you on that. And I'm actually looking, you know, you mentioned Sean bringing him on and doing some writing for you. I was just curious because I like to go down rabbit holes. So I was like looking and popped open his article on UC Santa Barbara. So I'm going to read that probably once or twice over. I like that team. Them going into March sounds very exciting.
Yeah.
Like I said, you guys just got a really, really great website. You know, I'm kind of thumbing through it right now myself. Not the first time, not the second time, and it's just very user-friendly. The interface is really nice, and the knowledge and the insight, like I said a couple times over now, is really, really awesome and abundant. So, and you know, you can tell that there's passion, you know, into what you guys cover. And, you know, this is going to take me into my third and, you know, last of my organized questions. And that's, you know, in order to cover something so passionately as you do, you know, you guys do it very well. And you have a deep and fond love of that said topic. Where did your college basketball love, you know, like first commence? You told me, you explained some really vivid details about college basketball and that why you like it better or maybe a little bit more. So, what's maybe one of your first college basketball memories?
I don't really know per se, like my first college basketball memory. I remember like watching growing up, I think the first tournament I watched was like the 2006 NCAA tournament growing up, but like, it was just fun. Like you have the brackets out there, which is, I thought, cool. Like you can like say, oh, I think this team's going to go this far in the tournament. I think kind of watching that and just kind of like that kind of started the fun, and then like gradually you get more and more into the sport, and now obviously do like think like cover the sport on a pretty daily basis. So yeah. I think it just, it's a passion, you find an interest for it, and then you just keep on, like it's almost like a snowball effect, I guess.
Yeah. There's just something special about college basketball, you know? There just is. I mean, it's got that certain, like I said, you know, it's that certain pizzazz to the game of basketball. You know, for me personally, I think I was like 6 or maybe 7. And there was a claw machine game. I think it was at a bowling alley or a diner or something. And then my older brother, I knew that he liked sports, I guess. But there's like a Duke, you know, Blue Devils like squishy ball in the thingy, and I won it. And I didn't recognize the team really. And then I found out it was a basketball team, and then it was a college basketball team specifically. And then it kind of just set in from there. And then Adam Morrison and Gonzaga in the early 2000s when I was in, you know, elementary and middle school, that kind of, once I figured out what Gonzaga was, again, another unfamiliar school, kind of caught my interest. So yeah, it's just kind of got ways of attaching to its fandom. And that's what makes it really, really exciting with all these different schools involved and all the different, you know, programs and types of play. So we talked a little off air, or I mentioned some games I was interested in talking about for the upcoming slate on Tuesday. Are you still wanting to run through those? How are you feeling about that?
Yeah, I'll run through those.
Perfect.
Yeah, it should be fun.
Awesome. Well, being right here in the Midwest, I figured this one was a perfect one to throw on and then just throw it on at the top and get it out of the way, get the homerism out of the way. This game will be, well, maybe it might be postponed. Actually, I need to check the status on that. I forgot to do that before we did this. Texas and OU, because we are getting hit with lots of snow in Oklahoma right now.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So they might.
I think it's back to Wednesday.
Yeah. Okay. So they did. So shame on me as the podcast host for not being properly prepared. At least I caught it. I was mindful of it.
Yeah.
I didn't get digging into the game and be like, oh wait, this game's not happening yet. All right. So
but it's still on for now as of this podcast.
Perfect. Yeah. So Texas, so you know, this OU team, we can just talk about, you know, I'm not sure if you're a fan of the quadrant, you know, system, but like, you know, to put in perspective the amount of, you know, top ranked teams or quadrant one teams, if you want, OU's beaten what, like 4 of them in the last month, 5 of them in the last month. I think they went on a crazy run. They beat 3 straight top 5 teams. They went into Morgantown. They survived that double overtime win recently.
Yeah.
They're playing some gutsy ball right now. And Texas, I think, is starting to deflate a little bit. You know, they're not losing a lot or losing bad games. But, you know, these two teams actually just played. You know, it was a string of games that OU won that Texas was a victim of. So back-to-back almost. Real familiar foe. Rivalry game, Red River Shootout. You got any opinions on this one?
I tend to lean towards Texas here. I think Oklahoma's been like outstanding this year, but I will say like they played earlier in the year, the two teams played, and Texas was missing, I believe, Sims, Courtney Raby, and Brock Cunningham. So like 3 of their 7, like they kind of run a 7-man rotation, but three of the 7 players were out, and it was still kind of a close game. Oklahoma played really well and got the win. I kind of like Texas in a bounce back spot here. I think Oklahoma, they've obviously come out of a big way against West Virginia. I think Oklahoma is a very, very good team. I just think Texas, they have a, like, I think Texas has a little bit more talent. They were playing really well a month ago, and they're just kind of like getting everyone back up to fold, but they played really well against TCU, and I'm just going to lean towards the Longhorns in this one, especially I think they're getting points in this one. So
yeah,
as an underdog, I'll take the Longhorns.
Yeah, they are getting 1.5. And you know, just for discussion's sake, 141 was the opening number. 140.5 is where it's kind of resting. I could see some defense being a part of this game. You know, there you see some stretches with this OU team and the Texas squad also, you know, where they can play some very quality defense. With the SEC, one of my favorite teams in the SEC this year has been Missouri. I just love the three-headed monster of Theo Pinson, Jeremiah Tillman, and Drew Smith. And the defense has been lacking a little lately. I took Georgia in the last game to cover, and they just kind of deflated. And Mizzou coming off of a really bad loss. They've had a real bad week. They're a 3.5-point road favorite. Number 10 team in the country still. 13-5 going on the road to face Georgia. Georgia's just looking really bad lately. I think 3.5 is a really, really good spot for Missouri. I'm looking to back them.
I would tend to lean that way. Like 3.5 is kind of like it's a small number as is, and then like you add into it, like I think Missouri's a better team. They haven't been playing great this past week, but like they're a really good team overall, and I think they're due for kind of a bounce back spot, especially coming off a tough loss to their rival. I think they'll kind of show out, be extra mad, and beat Georgia. One thing I do like in these Georgia games, if it's remotely close and Georgia's losing, Tom Crean is going to foul.
Yeah.
And so, like, I think they're playing, forget who it was, a week ago, and they were down, I think it was Tennessee, and they're down like 15. And the under's like clearly, I think, the option. And then, like with 2.5 minutes left, they start fouling and they never stop fouling. And like by the time the game ended, it was like 20 points over because Georgia like would run down and score a quick layup, but then they'd foul. And then back down the court, score a quick layup, then they'd foul. Like last 2.5 minutes of the game went from under to like way, way over.
Well, that's a good tidbit of, you know, what's that called? Perception or, you know, observation. Because I wasn't really keen on that. So I appreciate you bringing that to my attention because I will take that into account on, you know, my analysis now. And just kind of, like I said, that data bank. Man. We were going to talk, we got some really good matchups to talk about, but I've, you know, with how kind of dry Monday night was, tonight was, Tuesday it looks like a real nice, refreshing shot of college basketball. Dayton and Rhode Island, you know, Rhode Island at home, they're below 500 now. They've really fallen off, and Dayton kind of just staying the course. Not doing anything too much or overachieving in any spectacular area. Plus 3.5 on the road. This number hasn't really moved at all. The total really hasn't moved. I've just seen even, you know, even line all the way through. Dayton on the road catching 3.5. To your knowledge, are they down a guy or do you know if they're going to be shorthanded at all? Not to put you on the spot, but I haven't heard anything. So I was just curious.
I haven't heard anything yet.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but I like the Flyers in this spot. Rhode Island's defense, I don't know what's going on with them. They looked good earlier in the year, but it's like once they got deeper in this A-10 play, they lost to some pretty chummy teams. And I think Dayton, you know, right here, I think they went outright. So getting the 3.5 is definitely a delight for me.
Yeah, these are two teams I don't really trust in this one. Like, I would probably just lean towards Dayton, especially since they're getting 3.5 points. But, like, I think it'll be a close game. And kind of in close games, Dayton's best player, Jalen Crutcher, is, like, ridiculously clutch. So, like, if I think this is going to be a back-and-forth, you know, one-possession type game, I would tend to also agree and lean Flyers here just because I know – like with Dayton, they have the best player on the court in late in games, having the best player on the court, having the most clutch player on the court is especially big for winning the games.
Stepping up and making shots late in the game is huge for a team looking for a win in a close game, obviously in college basketball. You know, I was going to talk about Syracuse Louisville, but or Louisville. I'm sorry. I'm not sure who pronounces it the way, you know, I mean, you're going to offend someone either way you pronounce Louisville. So I try to be more traditional and say Louisville, but I slipped up that time. There's some Maction games that I was really excited to maybe pick your brain on or, you know, just throw out and, you know, discuss a tiny, tiny bit about. And one of the teams that I've really been fading almost perma-fade or like insta-fade is Western Michigan. They just have zero depth. They don't score the ball and they don't really stop people from scoring the ball. And they turn the ball over a lot. And Kent State plays a lot of good pressure on and off ball. And I really like what they do as far as getting their shots and creating and making them. And they play aggressive. You know, they get to the line. So I think they're going to put Western Michigan in a bad spot. And I like them to cover by probably more than double digits on the road. Kent State.
Yeah,
Kent State, that is.
What day did you say that game was? I'm kind of looking through the database.
That is 6 p.m. on ESPN3, Central Standard Time, Tuesday, February 16th.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't see it in the – where I was looking.
They've been shifting. You know, I was looking earlier and you know, like I said, I was looking at Syracuse Louisville and it was somewhere else on the card. And now it's somewhere. Yeah. So with all the, like you said, the weather postponements right now is just kind of going crazy.
Yeah.
So.
I see.
Yeah. Yeah. Some good old action. Love that. And then Bowling Green, you know, they're getting 1 point on the road at Ball State. Now, I know Ball State's a really good home team. I'm not trying to discredit them at all, and I've taken advantage of that on the year before. But Bowling Green, you know, I know they've been playing a little bit down lately, but here's the thing. I just like Bowling Green. I like backing them. I think the fact that they turn it around right here, you know, they did lose 4 of their last 5, but they – and then that Western Michigan loss was real terrible. But, you know, a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while for the case of Western Michigan. Two of those losses, Kent State, which we just spoke highly of, and then Toledo. You know, they split the series with Toledo, and Toledo is a really good team too. The top of this MAC conference is what did it in for this Bowling Green team. So it's time to get it right and get a good win against Ball State, who I believe is a good team, but I don't think they offer as much depth or returning continuity and production from, you know, last year's team. And Bowling Green, look for them to get a win, in my opinion.
Yeah, I like Bowling Green, especially like Justin Turner is a absolute stud. He's someone Bowling Green's kind of been struggling this year, but like he's a fantastic player. I think he's kind of someone like the goal going into the season for Bowling Green was make the NCAA tournament, and they kind of struggled early in the season, and I just haven't gotten it together, but like, I kind of think come March and we're getting to that point where like, they're kind of like revving up the engines, getting ready for the big MAC tournament. And so I think he's someone, he's a player, and this is a team that I think they're at some point, whether it's against Ball State, whether it's elsewhere, I think Bowling Green's going to be a team kind of late in the season. They're going to be playing their best basketball. And I think like this is a spot where I think they could potentially, you know, start going on a big run here.
Yeah. This is going to be a good traction game. You know, if they get this win under their belt, you know, it's a good confidence builder going into the end of conference play and trying to make a push. Toledo's looking real good right now. You know, like I said, some really good teams in this conference. Akron, don't forget about them. They're 12-4, minus 17 at home against Northern Illinois. Another team that I'd like to insta-fade. Didn't realize I was going to talk about so much action. Just it's so easy to throw out there because the quality of teams and the clear cutness of it, I think, is a bit established right now in this league. And there's some really good spots to take advantage of some value if you eat for your, you know, power ranking sake, or even for, you know, your wagering sake. So, and then a team I've been really, really, really liking, and I'll toss them out, see if you have an opinion. If not, we can just brush it off to the side. But Austin Peay. I've really been enjoying Austin Peay lately. They lost recently in a spot they definitely shouldn't have. But when they play well, they play really, really well. They got some work to do in the Ohio Valley Conference with a couple teams ahead of them. But if they make a run in that tournament and they get a bid into the NCAA tournament, I'm not saying anything. Like, I'm not promising an Austin Peay win. I'm just saying it could be exciting. I don't think they'd lay down and just kind of not play. So, have you watched any of this Austin Peay team at all this year?
I watched a couple games early in the season. And then, like, the thing about Austin Peay, they have Terry Taylor, obviously, mm-hmm. is a stud. Like, this is a team, they have like high major talent. Like, coming into the season, I think I had Austin Peay as the, like, when I was throwing the preseason bracketology together, they were the team representing the Ohio Valley in the out of the conference tournament and into the NCAA tournament bracket. I still think they can be that team. They've obviously struggled a lot this year, but like, they still have, for my money, the best player in the Ohio Valley in Terry Taylor. This is a team I think they're going to, like, you haven't heard the last of them. I think they'll make a run, whether it's enough to beat Belmont and Murray State. Those two stalwarts continue to just, especially this year with Belmont.
One loss on the
they're
year,
fantastic.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're 21-1.
They're fantastic. But
wow.
I don't think we've heard the last of Austin Peay.
Yeah. They play decent enough, and I say decent loosely, but they play good enough defense. I mean, I've seen them go in 15-0 stretches recently, you know, and tonight, you know, or technically tomorrow, however you guys want to listen to that, whatever works for your brain and processing how we talk on these games. tonight, you know, they have a chance to do that against a Southeast Missouri State team that's a little meh. So, Not a marquee team or matchup to look at, but just like I said, something that was kind of percolating my interests in a league that's pretty exciting also, the Ohio Valley. Got Eastern Kentucky. They got 15 wins. Jacksonville State's another team that I've been excited about this year. Eastern Illinois looked all right early, but they fizzled really hard. And then, you know, we spoke about Belmont. So, that's probably going to be your bid out of this conference, if I had to say. They just look so dominant, and it's not close. All right, so I talked about a crap ton of games that I was interested in, and how rude of me. I'm a bad host. Was there anything that you were looking forward to on the Tuesday night card, The rest of this Monday night, you know, sample size of college basketball, or maybe a storyline, headline, or just something you're keeping your eyes on for the next couple days.
I will say, like, Tuesday's card, I think, is going to – I think they've already, like, moved a couple games around. But I think, like, Wednesday and Thursday's games, for one, are going to be, like, really fun to look forward to. Like, Iowa-Wisconsin's one of those games. That's going to be an interesting game. Houston-Wichita State. In theory, Houston should win – pretty handily, but like Wichita State, they're playing for their NCAA tournament lives right now. I could see, like, I think they'll show up and have their best performance of the season. Whether it's enough, that's a different story, but I think Wichita State's going to be a team. On Thursday, they're going to kind of look to get a win, and I think Wednesday and Thursday this week are going to be fantastic, like, days to watch in college basketball.
Yeah, the Wichita State game, that team, just the way they've performed after the Greg Marshall, debacle, you know, that was kind of something that I wasn't expecting. But the way that that team kind of, especially with how young they are, the way they handled it and the way that they're playing this year, kudos to them. So that was kind of a weird position for, you know, college players to probably be in. But Houston, oh man, Kelvin Sampson, he's been one of my favorite college coaches for a while. He still does it. Somehow that defense is just still so good. I just want to throw this out there because it's breaking news. ESPN sent it to me. But Duke freshman Jalen Johnson opts out for the rest of the season so he can prep for the NBA draft. So if that's for anyone's interest, there you have it. Which, I mean, Duke wasn't doing anything this year anyways. They are a shell of themselves. I'm kind of disappointed in them. Not that I'm a Duke fan, but it's just weird to see all these blue bloods so bad this year.
Yeah, it's – I think, one, you have kind of the mixture, like, with Duke, with Kentucky. Like, those two teams were bringing in a bunch of freshmen. Same with North Carolina. Kansas was kind of, like, putting some guys – in positions they weren't previously in. So I think it's like, obviously, like, you have all these blue blood strugglings, but I think part of that's been like COVID-19 related. You haven't had a full off season to practice. Most of the time, like June 1st, you have all these freshmen on campus working out, playing pickup games together. And you didn't get that this year. So I think that's kind of like been a part of it. Obviously some of these freshmen have other issues, whether it comes to like just not being what we thought they were coming into the season. But I think a large part of it has been like the team bonding, team chemistry type things that you usually get in the summertime just haven't been there this year.
Yeah. That's a really good observation point from you on your end. You know, just getting that chemistry on and off court is very, very important, especially for incoming freshmen that are expected to do a ton, you know, as a Calipari class is expected to do. And then another school, you know, because I like this coach, and again, one of the more earlier college basketball memories I have is learning who Tom Izzo was. Michigan State being down, I don't know if a lot of people would consider them blue bloods, but I think they're up there. They always play in the Champions Classic. So it's just, you know, like 1-5 is pretty much universally down this year as far as what you would consider your blue bloods or, you know. And then UCLA just hasn't been good for a long time. So,
but hey, this is one of their better years.
Yeah, I know. Hey, Mick, I always tweet this. Mick Cronin is the best coach there since John Wooden. So it's just a running joke that I always throw out there whenever I cap UCLA games. And I like Mick Cronin. He was great at Cincinnati, put some really great defenses out there and some interesting offenses. So always changing stuff up with how he coaches. He's not, you know, stuck in his ways. So,
yeah,
but Man, we talked about a good slate of games. I want to remind the listeners, you know, exactly where to find your work, make sure they don't forget. And then, you know, I forgot to say this at the top, but one of the things I like about your Twitter stuff, and, you know, I'm going to come out and say, you know, I've got my notification bell for your tweets because it's simultaneous, you know, results. Like I get pretty much before I get anything from, you know, Action Network or The Score or ESPN or whatever, CBS, you know, I get a tweet notification, like a push notification, and I get a final score on a game that I was wondering about, you know, from you. Or, you know, the late game descriptors that you give of a possession or two or just how a game ended. So that's one thing I really like about your coverage and why, you know, you hoopballers, folks listening, y'all, that's why you need to go follow this gentleman. But again, let's plug some more for you, boss, and talk more about Making the Madness and just, you know, remind these listeners where your work is all located at.
Yeah, as said, you can follow me on Twitter at Bracketologist3. You mentioned I'll put out like all the kind of, I think, NCAA tournament importance results. I think one of the things I like to do is like see what games are impactful towards like teams making the NCAA tournament, whether it's like a seed line here, seed line here. So like I'll tweet out all the, I think, kind of pretty important games results with like a box score and stuff like that. Follow me there. Check out the Making the Madness College Basketball podcast after you finish listening to this show, of course. We do like twice a week, Monday, Friday. So,
yeah. Twice a week. Man, I need more of y'all's content. like I said, y'all do such good job, over there. No, twice a week. When do those ups, or when does that stuff come out?
Usually it's like Monday, and then we'll either record like Thursday night, usually during like the late Pac-12 game, or sometimes like Friday. It'll usually get released on Friday, but we'll either record Thursday night or record like Friday afternoon. So if you follow on Twitter, you'll get the notification and like see either it's on Friday morning, we probably record Thursday night. If it's like a Friday afternoon, we record on like Friday afternoon sometime. So just depends when works out best for us. So
yeah, there's so many great analysts out there, you know, you being one of them. But man, just to be honest, I can hardly keep track of my recording schedule. So I always got to be reminded of the folks that I enjoy listening to. So as I said, I've got my notification bell on for Jonathan. Y'all should do the same after you follow him. 100%. Absolutely. Jonathan, is there one conference, and this will be kind of like my outro question if you want, you know, and then we wrap a bow on this, but is there one conference tournament that you would say you are maybe more excited for, or maybe looking for something the most in, you know, come the end of regular season?
I think from the high majors, I think the Big 12 is going to be probably the most fun, because it's like you have seven, like you're just gonna have a great game every single game that's out there in the Big 12, because there's like seven really good teams. Maybe Baylor's probably gonna roll through it like they've done pretty much every, but like every other Big 12 game will be a pretty high level basketball. From the mid, like I'm looking forward to the Missouri Valley. I want to see if hopefully, like, I'm someone that kind of like cheers for the best teams to like make it to the NCAA tournament. So like I'm personally like out root for against teams, but I'm like rooting for it to be a Drake Loyola showdown to determine who the best team in the Valley is. I think that would be certainly interesting to watch. I would see that game in the Missouri Valley Championship. Another one, like the Ohio Valley is another like conference tournament that is always fantastic to watch. Cause like this year you have Belmont, who's just, we talked about earlier, just been rolling through the league, but like, I think Murray State, Austin Peay, Eastern Kentucky, like those type of teams could give them a run for their money and maybe win the conference tournament, because anything can happen in March. So it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. And we're not just talking about the March Madness tournament. I mean, leading up to it, I mean, the end of regular season, the last couple games, you know, this is about to be the crunch time of the college basketball season that we love so much, because it all just starts taking shape. Conference tournaments, the NCAA, the NIT, the CBI, you know, I'm a big CBI guy. I love that one. It's a fun one. They always get, you know, so many nifty little just schools in that tournament. And it's a bigger tournament. You know, there's like the ones that have four or five teams, six teams. So really looking forward to the Sun Belt. We, you know, a lot of people call it the Fun Belt, but I like to say, you know, we call it the Fun Belt too. But, you know, Fun Belt, Sun Belt, of course, Maction. I want to see if USC can continue looking as good as they have. See if it's going to be them or Colorado, maybe someone else, UCLA. You know, those three teams in that tournament will be exciting. Tons of really fun conference. SoCon, maybe see if Radford runs through the Big South. Maybe Campbell, you know, the Campbells get in with an automatic bid. That'd be exciting. Tons of basketball. So, well, man, again, it was a great, great episode. I appreciate you coming on. I talked about mid-majors, big, small, making the madness. It's all going to start taking shape here soon. Going to continue to look at your bracketology stuff. Again, Mr. Jonathan Warner. Find him at Bracketologist3 on Twitter. You can find me at DALE007. At Hoopball Gaming will be where you find the show stuff. And then go check out the website at hoop-ball.com. There's no at on webs. I forgot how to use the World Wide Web. Sorry about that. Just hoop-ball.com, y'all. Go check it out. Don't forget the promo codes. And as always, sending you my good vibes and all of my good energies. Y'all take care, and we will see you on the next one. Thanks again, Jonathan. Take care, buddy.
Thank you.
This has been a Hoop Ball presentation.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.